So I'm Jay Hamm. I'm one of the two missions pastors here at First Baptist Church. I like to say I'm the shorter and the better looking of the two missions pastors. I'll not use that joke next time. Let me write that down. Don't say that again. Tough crowd today. I hope you've enjoyed your sweating through Christmas, everybody. I was afraid Al Gore maybe had gotten something right. See if that one will float. Let me try it. Let me give it a minute. Oh, yeah, okay. As it got further back, it was a little funnier. Well, all right, so I'll quit joking around. So my wife, Kristen, is here with me. I've been on staff here this going into my 18th year here at First Baptist Church. Just turned 50 years old a couple of weeks ago. Some of you guys were a part of my party, and I thank you for that 50-year party. I was here on my 40th birthday, and I got to be here on my 50th birthday, and maybe I'll get to be here on my 60th and 70th. That was my youngest, that's my baby that was playing the guitar beside me right there. One of my daughters is here as well. Gracie's here. My baby's right here with me, and he was 7 months old when we came to this church, and so he's a senior in high school now. It's kind of hard to believe that he's grown up and taller than me, and I need some advice on how do you whoop a kid that's bigger than you. Some of you dads, maybe you figured that out, so he don't need too many whoopings, but every once in a while he does. We're going to take a look, like Mr. Law said, we're going to open our Bible today to Matthew chapter 9, and I got to tell you a little story. You can go along with me in my my stream of consciousness, maybe, if that's what you want to call it. Last week, I was sitting right back there, about where the Lunnons are sitting, right back there on that back row, and I listened to Pastor Greg's sermon. And I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old. I started going to church when I was really in the ninth grade, and I've pretty much been to church ever since the doors have opened, since I started going in the ninth grade. I love going to church. I love being a part of a church. I've loved being a part of this church, and I love getting to hear preachers preach. But I'll be honest with you, there are times that as a pastor is speaking, I'll hear something from God's word, and my mind just runs off. Okay, nothing against the pastor and nothing against anything that's going on, but is anybody else, are you there with me sometime? There's just something. The Bible is alive. Right? It's alive, and it jumps off the page at us sometimes, and sometimes that happens to me, and I just take off running down, my mind just takes off running down this path, and last week was one of those moments where I began thinking about this idea of the compassion of Jesus, and I began to think that the same compassion that moved Jesus should move me, right? The same compassion that moved Jesus should move me. I think that should be a mark for us as followers of Jesus, that the same things that moved Jesus should move me. And I began to think about that. And I listened as Pastor Greg talked a little bit about, he gave one really good example of sometimes how the world thinks of the church. And I know that sometimes we don't have a great standing in terms of the way the world looks at us. I have friends and family members who think I'm nuts that I come here and I sit for 45 minutes and I listen to some guy talk. I have friends and family members who think it's crazy that I give money to this church, okay? I have friends on Facebook that say all kinds of crazy things about this church, and you've read those too, right? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the church doesn't have the best view around, and I began to think about this, and I began to think about how I want the compassion that moved Jesus to move me as I move among the people that I work with. Some of you know that I've been very privileged as the missions pastor here at First Baptist Church to fill up one passport and to start filling up another. I've been to a lot of neat places. There's probably very few people from Gum Springs, Arkansas that have ever been to most of the places that I've been to, but the Lord has given me the opportunity to go to a lot of neat places and see a lot of neat people and hear a lot of people talk and their ideas. And so I want to continue on that theme this morning of this same compassion that moved Jesus should define me. And I want to ask you to turn in your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35. And as you find that, why don't you go ahead and stand with us? We're going to read that passage of Scripture together. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And I don't know how you define compassion. I think we each have a little different idea in our mind of what compassion looks like. I think in the Greek language, Dusty probably knows this better than me because he's been to seminary, but it's something along the lines of to suffer alongside of. Kayla's sitting right there. She's a seminary student. I don't know. Kayla, is that right? Is that close? Compassion, to suffer alongside of. I think that's what it means. And there are lots of different words in the Bible that are translated compassion. And most of them have this idea that something that comes from deep within inside of us that makes us do something. It moves us. It's a gut-wrenching thing inside of us that makes us move. And that's what we see here in this passage in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35. And so I want to ask somebody, if you would, just read a sentence and then let the next person read a sentence. And let's read this passage of Scripture together as a church. So if you would, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, somebody read that first passage there. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father God, we pray to you today as the Lord of the harvest that you would send workers into your field. God, help us have the compassion that Jesus had. Help us be moved by the same compassion that moved your son. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thanks for reading along with us. That was kind of cool. I love reading Scripture aloud. I know some of you probably got to sit with your family this week and read Scripture aloud to your family and read the Christmas story. I hope you, if you haven't done that yet, maybe you'll take that opportunity to read. Like Lyle said, I hope you'll open that gift that you have before you. The Bible makes us this promise that all Scripture is God-breathing. It's profitable. Right? It's good for you. You put a little in, you get a lot out, right? It's good for you. It's profitable for teaching and correcting and rebuking and training in righteousness so that the man of God, that when he gets to where he's going, he's ready. He's equipped, right? And that's a good promise that we have from Scripture. And so I hope you'll take that seriously today. I think if you will now, turn with me back to Luke chapter 7. I think that's where Pastor Greg was. Can someone confirm for me that was the exact passage? Remember I said my mind wandered a little bit. I need to make sure. I think Luke chapter 7 is where he was. And he was talking a little bit about these stories. I want to talk a minute and let you look in Scripture and see about some of these things that we're talking about. As I sat back there last week, I began to think that this same compassion that moved Jesus should move me, and that I wanted to begin to measure my commitment to following Jesus by the compassion that I have for those around me. Now, I'm not trying to earn my salvation. I know for a fact that I was saved as a young boy. Someone came to my house and they knocked on my door when I was about 8 years old, 9 years old, I think it was. They knocked on my door and they invited me to a vacation Bible school. And I remember I went to a vacation Bible school at a little bitty church in Gum Springs, Arkansas, and I heard the good news of the gospel. And I know for certain, I know that I trusted Jesus as my Savior on that day. And so I'm not trying to earn my salvation, and I'm also not trying to earn God's favor and God's blessing by my own attitude, but I do understand that I see this commitment of Jesus to have compassion for those around him. And I'd like for my life to be measured by the compassion that I have for others. There's a lot of ways to measure a man, isn't there? A lot of ways, right? I can skin a buck. I can run a trot line, right? Okay, one person laughed. I mean, did none of y'all listen to Hank? I mean, a bunch of sinners? Come on. Nobody else was in high school? Oh, my gosh. What does Brooks and Dunn say? I can ride, rope, hammer, and paint, do things at my hands that most men can't, right? Anybody, a few of you remembered that one, okay? There's a lot of ways to measure a man. Darlene is kind of fancy for saying that she tells the guys on staff, you ain't a man until you're 40. And they listen to her because her husband's a Navy SEAL and he does what she says, so we figure we better. Right? Right, Dusty? Right? We like, yes, ma'am. So Dusty just couldn't wait till he turned 40, so he gets to be a man in Darlene's eyes. There's a lot of ways to measure a man, but I'd like for my life to be measured by the compassion that I have for other people. Because I'm a follower of Jesus, and I see this compassion that moved Jesus, and I want my life to be measured in that same way. I'm about to be a papaw. Some of you know in March I'm going to get to be a papaw. And I'd like to be known as a papaw whose life is marked by compassion. I've been measured by a lot of things in my life before, but I see this compassion that moved Jesus. If you look through this story, and some of you are very familiar with this, you will see, first of all, that the compassion that moved Jesus moved his feet. That compassion that moved Jesus moved his feet. And all throughout the Gospels, you're going to see action verbs of Jesus going, of Jesus moving. We read that a few minutes ago. I think Cherry read it aloud, that he was moved with compassion. And Dr. Joe read that as he was going through the villages. And if you flip back a couple of pages, even in this passage, you're going to see that he was there at a temptation. He went to a temptation, and that he began to call disciples. And you see this idea that the compassion of Jesus moved his feet. I want to be marked as a man who my feet are moved by compassion for those that I see around me. It's so easy to sit. It's so easy just to say, I wanna be still, and I wanna let others come to me, and I'll help them if they come across my path. But I wanna be marked as a man whose feet are ready to move. The compassion that Jesus had, that we read about, this gut-wrenching emotion that he had, they moved his feet. And you can see all through this, all through the gospel, the story that Pastor Greg read last week, he was moved with compassion for this this centurion, and he was walking to his house, right? He was going. The compassion that moved Jesus moved his feet. The second thing that I see in Scripture is that the compassion that moved Jesus moved his hands. He was active. He touched people. He touched people. He put his hands on them, and he loved them, and not just with his hands, but remember the story at the tomb where Lazarus was dead? Do you remember that story? And Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, and he told his disciples, let's wait a couple of days. And then he went, and as he came, the sisters, they came running to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, if only you had been here, our brother would live. And the shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus, knowing what was about to happen, he knew Lazarus was coming out of that grave. He knew he was going to speak and Lazarus was going to walk out of that grave, and yet Jesus wept. And they looked at and they said, oh, how he loved Lazarus. The compassion that moved Jesus moved his hands and his tears. It moved his eyes. It moved, he did things. He was active. Oh, it's so easy for us just to sit idly by with our hands in our pockets and do nothing. Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy to sit on that couch. It's so easy to just forget about different things that are, it's so easy for me. And I say the same to myself. It's so easy to walk through life and knowing that I need to do something with my hands to help those around me, to have compassion for those. And I see that this compassion moved the hands of Jesus. One more thing that I think is, if you look through these Gospels, you're going to see that not only did the compassion of Jesus move his feet and it moved his hands, but the compassion of Jesus moved his lips. He spoke over and over and over and over again. He takes the time to teach these lessons and help people understand the good news of the gospel. He was willing to go to places where people didn't see things clearly and they didn't understand. He was willing to do certain things. Remember the story of the wine? My grandma was a teetotaler. Y'all know what that is? One time I was giving her a hard time when I was in high school about Jesus turning water into wine. She said, and I'd have thought a lot more of him if he hadn't have done that too. Right? Write that one down. That one worked. That joke works. Listen, if you're from the South and you start talking about mamaw, people just, they're with you, right? Can I give y'all another trick real quick while we're here, while y'all are taking these things for free? Like, guys, when you're going to the revenue office, if the first words out of your mouth are, listen, I'm a husband, just try it. That lady, right, she's looking at you, like, and you just, first thing you say, you got all these papers in your hand, and you say, I'm sorry, I'm a husband. She'll go, oh, okay. If you go down to the insurance, whatever you got to do, this first words out of your mouth, I'm a husband. She's going to go, oh, okay. We're good. That's free. You know, I'm not charging you any extra for that. That's free. But the compassion that moved Jesus moved his feet and moved his hands and moved his mouth. He was willing to share and talk. So maybe you live in the world that Greg talked about last week, this world where people are violent and they're hostile to the gospel. Some of you live in that world. Some of you have family members who they want to pick a fight with you every time you get together. And you don't look forward to Christmas, Easter, whatever, because you know there's that certain family member who, someone from society, that they're violently against the idea of religion or Christianity, and they just want to pick a fight, right? And we see that, right? But I live in this world where I find that many people have a very high regard for religion, or at least spirituality. And some of them even have a very high regard for Jesus, right? A lot of them have a very high regard for Jesus. And as a matter of fact, a lot of them have a very high regard for God's word. But they don't have much of a regard for the church. Some of you, maybe you live in that world. A couple of weeks ago, we were at Church in the Dirt, and we have a family that's from South Louisiana. Louisiana. You go to New Orleans, they say Nawlins, and you hang a right, and you get your feet wet, I reckon. I don't know. They talk it like this, you know? And so the little boy, he's in the seventh grade, he said, Mr. J, when he calls me Mr. J, I want to take that boy home. Mr. J, my dad said he want one of them Bibles. I said, really? Okay. He said, my dad said he got one of them Catholic Bibles, but he don't have a Christian Bible. He want one of them Bibles. And I said, okay. So the church was over and they had kind of gone out to the truck. So I walked out to the truck and I had a Bible and it had Stephen Davis's name on the front of it. Some of y'all know I have this bad habit of people leave Bibles laying around. I pick them up and give them to people who want them. Listen, I don't know where Lyle went, but if you leave that gift laying around, you obviously didn't want it too bad, and so I'm going to give it to somebody who will. If you're a Gideon, I love you, thank you, but I try to make a race to see if I can give away more Bibles than the Gideons, but anyway, I walked out there with the Bible, and he rolled the window down in the truck they're about to leave, and I handed him the Bible, and he looked at that Bible, and he said, Stephen Davis, who dat? And I thought, man, we're making a difference in Russellville, Arkansas, if we're giving a Bible to somebody who has Stephen Davis's name on it and they don't know who he is. We're making a difference, right? The same compassion that moved Jesus, it moved his hands and his feet and his mouth. I want those things to move me. Now, some of you are going to be very surprised how we end this message today, but we're going to actually take a look at the Great Commission. There were some that were betting against me that said that I wouldn't be able to preach a message that didn't have the Great Commission in it, but you're going to lose today, and I'm going to win. I'm pretty sure for the last 17 years, every message that I've preached has been about this passage in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It's a passage of scripture that when I finally took enough time to understand that gift, Mr. Lyle, that God had given me, the goalpost got moved for me in Matthew chapter 28. So I want to ask you, can you say that with me? Jesus said to them, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I'm with you until the end of the age." Give yourself a hand. You did good. Give yourself a hand. That's good. Quoting Matthew 28. It's important to quote scripture, isn't it? It's important to know those things. So can I measure my commitment to following Jesus by this compassion that I see in the life of Jesus? So Jesus makes this statement in Matthew chapter 9. It says he's moved. He sees the crowds and he's moved to compassion. He begins to gather up this group of men. He takes them with him and he begins to teach them to obey the things that he's learned to command. And then the very last thing that he says on this earth is he goes, "Guys, you've watched me for the last 3 years. Now go do what I did." And he says, I see the same things. Do you see that in scripture? I see the same thing that Jesus was moved to compassion about, that I see in Luke chapter 7 that Pastor Greg talked about. I see this outlined in the very last words that Jesus said on this earth, the Great Commission. First of all, he says, "Go." Does compassion drive my feet to go? The command is not to come, the command is to go. Does compassion drive my feet to go? So I ask myself this question: where am I going with the good news of the gospel? Where am I going to engage a lost world? You have lots of opportunities at First Baptist, and Kent and I have talked about this a lot. I don't feel like I do a very good job of letting people know about the trips that we have going. The truth is, most of the time, most of our trips are already full, and people are planning to go before most of you even know that we're having a trip. I'm going to try to do a better job of that. This next year, we're going to try to do a better job of letting you know places where we go in Southeast Asia, and we go to the Middle East, and we go to El Salvador, and we go to San Diego. You have many, many, many opportunities to go to the nations. But every single day you have this opportunity to go into this culture, this place where God has placed you. And you, I have to ask myself this question: are my feet being moved with compassion to go to these people that God has called me to? Am I willing to go? I talked a few people into leaving First Baptist Church for a little while and going to help me plant a church. I think we took like five families. Some of them, you've seen them up here playing. Some of them, or maybe you're still here and hanging around. But we said, we're going to go. We're going to go away from this building, and we're going to go to an area, and we're going to try to start something new. We're going to try to preach the gospel in a different location. And about September of last year, we began to notice that there were more of them than there was of us. You know what I mean? There's more of them. Am I right, Zach? There's more of them than there was of us. Suddenly, we look in the crowd, and there was more of those people out there who would say, "Stephen Davis, who dat?" Right? There was more of them than there was of us. And about October, November, Larry came to me, and he said, First Baptist Church is not going to support the church in the dirt anymore financially, because you guys are paying your own bills. And I said, what? And he goes, yeah. Every single Sunday, I stand there and I go, we don't need your money and God doesn't need your money, but if you want to give, give. We don't do anything special. We just, people just give. And it's all mostly in cash. And but we were paying the bills, right? Last Sunday, we had a candlelight Christmas service. Over 125 people came to our candlelight Christmas service. And we did a little math and about 20 of those people have ties to First Baptist. The rest of them are people that we've gathered because we were willing to go. And look at this. First Baptist didn't, some of you didn't even realize we left, right? Some of you ain't even missed me. Got my feelings hurt just a little bit on that. At least you could act like you missed me, right? Just because our numbers at First Baptist are good, our finances are good, like, right? It's like we took those, and it's that idea of multiplication because we were willing to go. Our feet was moved with compassion. So let me ask you a question. Where will God move your feet this year? Where will God move your feet with compassion that you'll be willing to go to the nations, to places where people need to hear? Listen, they're probably not coming to First Baptist Church. Can we be honest and say, just be honest and say, most of your friends are not going to come here. Can we be honest? Most of the guys on your sports team, they're not coming to First Baptist. I don't know why. They got excuses, but they're probably not coming here, right? Most of your friends that you hang out on the weekend, they're probably not going to come. Now, if they came, we would love them, and we would encourage them, and we would treat them like family. You know that we would, right? But for some reason, we understand they're probably not coming. But that makes sense because the command is to go. That this compassion that Jesus has moves our feet. The second thing that I see in this Great Commission is that He goes, he says go, and he says baptize. And we know that that means to create fellowship, right? When someone is baptized, they become a part of our fellowship. They join our team, right? They're part of our body. And that's what fellowship is all about. And fellowship begins with a relationship. We begin to develop relationships. My wife, they had this party at our house. They had a women's ministry party from Church in the Dirt. And they had all these folks gathered up on our couch, and I took a picture of them. And 1 year ago, I didn't know 13 of them. I didn't know 13 of those people sitting in my house a year ago. We went and rode in a parade, and I didn't know, other than my family that I took with me, a year ago, I didn't know any of those people. They were not in my life in any way, shape, or form, right? But we've been trying to develop relationships, and we've been trying to develop friendships. And I see that in the life of Jesus. And so I ask myself this question, where are my feet going to share the good news of the gospel? But also, what are my hands doing to create relationships, to create fellowship? Right? What are my hands doing? What are my tears say? What does my pat on the back say as I'm trying to create relationships and build relationships and fellowships? Today you will have the opportunity. And tomorrow when you go back to work or when you go back to school, you will have so many opportunities for your hands to create relationships. If you just will. Right? I know it's great to create relationships here. It's great to, there's nothing wrong with that. I love my relationships that I have at First Baptist Church. But there are so many people in our community where we have this opportunity to create fellowship and to create relationships. And I see the hands and the feet of Jesus moved. The last thing is I see this mouth of Jesus as he teaches to obey. He teaches from God's word. He teaches from things that he knows. There's wisdom that comes from his words. And I ask myself, who am I teaching to obey the things that I've learned to teach? This year has been such a cool blessing to me to get to encourage another worship leader It's been 17 years since I was really a part of a worship team. I used to be a big part of the worship team in the church that I came from, and I came here and Tommy didn't need me. I sat in a pew like you, right? But it's been really cool to encourage that guy that was over here on the end, Ricky. He's going to be a worship leader at Church in the Dirt one day, right? And Kyle, I'm getting to teach people to obey the things that I've learned to obey, right? And getting to hear these young guys preach. I see Nate over there. Nate's turned into a pretty good little preacher boy. I don't know if some of y'all knew that or not. He's pretty good at it. My son-in-law, Hunter, and old Dave Evans, Mike Emerson, Brad Goss, and there are others coming behind them where we get to teach. But it's not just those. It's little bitty simple things. God's put these two boys into my life that my son Josh met at the Boys and Girls Club, and they're fifth grade and sixth grade, and their dads are not in the picture. It's a long story. I'd love to tell you that story, but they'll go anytime I call them. They'll go with me anywhere, anything I'm doing. And it is so cool to get to drive around with those kids and to take them and to do things together and get to teach them to obey what I've learned to obey. And I see the feet and the hands and the mouth of Jesus being moved. And so that's my encouragement to you today. I want to end with a kind of a cool story that I want to flip the script just a little bit if I can. And Caleb and Avery, you guys can come on if you want to. In 1792, there was a guy by the name of William Carey, who is today known as the father of modern missions. He began to challenge the status quo and argue alongside of the Great Commission, saying that it was not just for certain people, it was not just for the certain groups of people who were supposed to be going and teaching and bringing people into fellowship, but it was supposed to be something that every Christian should be a part of. And he began to preach sermons, and people began to kind of make a big deal out of him, and he began to talk more and more and more about missions. And as I said, today we call him the father of modern missions. They began this thing called the Northamptonshire Baptist Association, and they funded this Baptist Missionary Society, which was the first kind of its first organization of its type in the evangelical world. And the next year, Carey himself was sent to India, and he served there as a missionary until his death in 1834. He inspired hundreds, probably thousands of others to become missionaries. And as a result of that, today we say that he really is the father of the way we do missions today. Most of you today, how many of you have heard of William Carey? You've heard that name before, okay? But have you heard this name, Andrew Fuller? One of William Carey's really good friends, one person's heard of Andrew Fuller, a really good friend of his named Andrew Fuller, and he grew up like William Carey in this theological context that wasn't really pushing intentional missions and intentional evangelism. But Fuller came to believe that every Christian was commanded to spread the gospel. And some of those were commanded to do it cross-culturally, but everyone was commanded to spread the gospel and to share the good news. And so before William Carey left for India, he made this famous quote to his good friend Andrew Fuller, and he said, "I will go down into the pit if you will hold the ropes. I will go down into the pit if you will hold the ropes." And so Andrew Fuller began to serve as the president of this Baptist Missionary Society that they founded, and he served there until his death in 1814. He traveled all over Great Britain, raising funds, preaching sermons. And the people, the missionaries serving in India and all across the world, could concentrate on the ministry that they did they could concentrate on what God had called them to do because Andrew Fuller was holding the ropes back home. And so I thought today, what if we flipped the script? What if we said to you guys, if you'll go down, I'll hold the rope. If you'll go down, we'll hold that rope. If you'll go, your staff, we'll hold the rope. We'll do what we're supposed to do here. We'll teach and we'll preach. We'll encourage your children. We'll teach your kids. We'll do those things to hold the rope if you'll go. And for some of you, that'll be go across the street. And some of you, that'll be go across the world. Right? What if we flip the script and we begin to say, it's no longer just these professional Christian guys that go, but it's guys like me and you, people who put our britches on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. And these pro guys up here, they'll hold the ropes. Pastor Greg will hold the ropes for you if you will go. Robert will hold the ropes. Dusty, he'll hold the ropes for you if you will go. If your feet will be moved with the same compassion that moved the feet of Jesus, if your hands will be moved by the same compassion that moved the hands of Jesus, and if your mouth will be moved by the same compassion. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to be real honest. Here's what's going to happen. It happened to me this morning. Some of you be real surprised that I didn't write all this down until this morning. There's my sermon right there. One page. I was in a hurry to get here, Chris. And I didn't have everything ready up here. And I didn't have song sheets run off. And I didn't have my sermon written down. And I didn't know where these ropes were, Dusty. I knew I could find them if I looked long enough. But I didn't know where these ropes were. And I was in a bit of a hurry. And on Parkway, there was a car broken down. And I drove right by it. There's a car sitting there at Parkway before 8 o'clock this morning with their lights on blinking. And I drove right by them. And I got all the way to Arkansas before I turned around. And I said, you are a hypocrite. You're such a hypocrite. You're going to go up there and you're going to talk about the hands and the feet of Jesus. And you just drove right by those people, broke down on Parkway in Russellville, Arkansas. And I turned around and I went back up there to them and they'd run out of gas and they had somebody coming to help, but they needed some help to push them out of the road. And I thought, isn't that just like God? When you put your yes on the table, He will put a car in the road. Amen? He will. He will put a car in the road for you to drive by and then you'll get the choice, just like me, to say, I don't know if I have time. I don't know if it's going to cause. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. But God's going to do that. And so Caleb had this idea today to do this song. They played for a little missionary thing that we had a couple of weeks ago to encourage some church planters. So if you don't know, this is Avery, Dusty's oldest daughter. And they did this song for, they sang this song over those missionaries, this blessing song. And so Caleb had this thought today of, why don't we sing that over you, right? We'll sing that over you today, the missionaries from First Baptist Church. We'll sing that over you, and we'll ask God to bless you. And we'll say, if you'll go, we'll hold the ropes. If you will go, we will hold the ropes. And I don't know what go looks like to you. I don't know where go looks like to you. But I'm just telling you, if you'll go, we'll hold the ropes. So we're going to end with this song. I know Dusty's here, obviously, and some of our other pastors. If you have something you'd like to deal with this morning, I realize this is probably pretty much a home crowd. But if God is moving something in your heart and you want to talk with somebody, you want to pray with somebody, my wife is right here. If there's a lady here that needs someone to pray with, my wife would love, Cherry Cloud, Jane would love to pray. If you're a lady here and you don't feel comfortable talking to a guy, there's three women right there that would love to pray with you. But as we sing this song together and as we think about this blessing, I want to ask you, where will God move your feet this year? In 2022, where will God move your feet? And where will he move your mouth? And where will he move your hands? The same compassion that moved Jesus should move us, right? So let me pray together, and I'm going to ask you to stand. And once again, Dusty, do you mind to be down here in case someone wants to pray? If you're looking for a church to join, we would love to have you. This is a good church. If you're looking for a church, if you've been saved and you want to be baptized, you can come talk with Dusty and kind of get that set up. And wherever the Lord's moving you, whatever's going on. Like I said, if there's something, I felt like this morning I probably should have started this sermon by saying, I'm not okay and you're probably not okay, but that's okay. This has been a hard year, right? Some of us have lived through some tough stuff this year, right? There have been some hard things in 2021. Some of us have lost loved ones and we couldn't do the funeral the way we wanted to because of COVID, and there were people who were sick and you couldn't go to the hospital with them because of COVID, and maybe I had COVID in February and I still can't taste or smell. Maybe you're like me. Maybe there are just things that are going on with your body that it's just been hard to live through, right? But Jesus is on his throne. Jesus is not up there in heaven wringing his hands worried about what's going to happen in 2022. Trust me, he ain't. Right? He is on his throne. And the only hope that we have is him. The only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. The only one you can cling to is Jesus Christ. And so maybe you're here today and there's just some hurting that's going on in your life. You need somebody to talk to, somebody to pray with, someone. Maybe you just want to come and kneel before the altar and pray here and say, hey, I want to commit my life to being moved with compassion. I want to be marked by a person who is moved with compassion, because I see that in the life of Jesus, and I want to be that way. I don't know. I want to give you this opportunity in this time as these kiddos sing. And let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful for this opportunity that we have to be here together this morning. God, we know that churches all over the world are gathering today on this last Sunday of 2021. And Father, all we want to do is tell you that we love you. All we want to do is tell you that we need you. All we want to do is tell you that you're worth it, that you're worthy. I just want to say that you are all of those things and more, God. You're bigger than we can say and more than we can compare to. And your ways are better than our ways, and your thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And Father, we trust you. Even though we don't see what it looks like, we trust you. But God, there are times in our life when we're hurting and we're alone and we're afraid and we're anxious. And God, we know in those moments that we need you. So God, I pray that you would help us as we begin this new year, God, to be a people who are moved with compassion. We see this compassion in Jesus that moved his feet and his hands and his mouth, and we see this compassion that moved him. So God, we pray that you would help us to be moved. And so God, I pray once again for the folks in this, the missionaries who will go out from this church every single week. God, would you help us to hold the ropes for them as they go? Help us to hold those ropes and encourage and to teach, to strengthen. And Father, we pray your blessing over these families and over the people who are gathered here. God, let your will be done during this time as our invitation, our last few moments here together. Father, we pray that you would move in our hearts and our minds to encourage us, to call us to what you want us to do, where you want us to be, and what you want us to say. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.